brothers, as well as the sisters, to this masjid, which is one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he explained that this masjid is the property of every single Muslim. It's your masjid, and you are all welcome at any time of the day or any time of the night, and that it pleases him to welcome you. And it pleases him to see that we have a community of brothers and sisters who are Arabs and non-Arabs who have come together in order to worship in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's basically the gist of what he said. And also on behalf of the Quran and the Sunnah Society, we also would like to welcome you, because it was that society that put on this affair. And we encourage all of the different groups and societies and masajid, wherever they may find themselves, to mutually cooperate with one another in order to establish Allah's deen, the face of the earth. Keep it in mind, as the Sheikh said before, we shouldn't be worrying about being mentioned or being praised or things being given to us. After that, the first question is the question, can you please tell me what is the meaning of the ayat, "It is those with knowledge who fear Allah"? أسألك السائل يا شيخ ما مراد بقوله تعالى إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء، ماذا يعني هذا الكلام؟
الحمد لله، قد ذكرنا أن معنى قوله تعالى إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء أي أن أشد الناس خشية لله هم أعلم الناس به، فكلما ازدادت خشية المسلم لربه كلما ازداد علم المسلم بربه كلما ازدادت خشيته منه، وكلما ازداد جهله وقل علمه كلما واقع معاصيه وخالف أوامره وتلبس بنواهيه وزواجره. ولذلك ورد عن الإمام سفيان الثوري أنه قال: ليس العلم بكثرة المسائل، إنما العلم الخشية. بمعنى لو أن إنسانا ما كان كثير الحفظ للمسائل والأحاديث والآيات، لكن لم يكن عنده خوف من الله ولا رهبة منه ولا حب له، فإن هذا لا يفيده ذلك كله إلا زيادة في الإفك والضلال والبعد. أما إذا كان يخاف الله حق خوفه ويخشاه حق خشيته ويتقيه حق تقاته، فإن ذلك كله يورث له العلم الذي به ينتهي عما نهاه الله عنه ويأتمر بما أمره الله تبارك وتعالى به.
Sheikh went on to say that we've already mentioned in the talk what the meaning of this is, and that is that the people who fear Allah the most are the ones who know the most about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most are the people who have the most knowledge, because every time a Muslim's knowledge is increased about his Lord, likewise his fear about his Lord is also increased, and vice versa. Every time the ignorance of the Muslim is increased, also his not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased. And the famous scholar and Imam of Islam, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that knowledge is not memorizing a lot of issues. Knowledge is not memorizing a lot of issues, but knowledge is having this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sheikh went on to say the meaning of that is that the person that you see who has memorized a lot, but he does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has memorized a lot of the Quran and a lot of the hadith and a lot of the statements of the ulama and a lot of the issues that came from the ulama, but you do not see him fearing Allah and he's doing those things which are haram. This person, his knowledge is only a cause of his sorrow. He said that his situation is not a situation except one which is increased with balala, that which sends people astray. So this knowledge is something that will cause a person to inherit the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next question is it wajib or obligatory upon a Muslim to take one of the four madhhab? هل هو واجب على مسلم أن يلتزم مذهبا من المذاهب الأربع؟
الواجب هو ما أوجبه الله أو أوجبه رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام، وما لم يوجبه الله أو رسوله فإنه ليس بواجب. العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة ليس بالتمويه، ما العلم نصبك من خلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فقيه؟ بمعنى أنه ليس واجبا على أحد من الناس أن يتقيد بمذهب معين من المذاهب الإسلامية الأربعة المعروفة، أو أن يلزم الناس بشيء من ذلك، ولكن يجوز للمسلم أن يتفقه على مذهب من هذه المذاهب إذا لم يكن عنده القاعدة العلمية التي تمكنه من معرفة دلائل الفقهاء في اختلافهم ومسائلهم في تباين آرائهم وهكذا. ولكن لا يجوز له بأي حال الأحوال أن يتعصب لهذا المذهب وأن يتحزب له وأن يفرق بين الناس على وفق هذه المذهبية بصور التعصب والعصبية، فإن هذا تفرق لا يرضى به الله ولا يرضى به رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما العامي الذي لا يعرف شماله من يمينه فليس له إلا أن يأخذ بقول من يثق بعلمه ودينه من أهل العلم وأن يتبعهم على ذلك دون أن يحاول فتح باب لا يستطيعه أو الولوج في مسألة لا يقوى عليها. فإن كان ثمة إثم على هذا الذي أفتاه فإن الإثم يكون عليه لا عليه، أعني على مفتيه لا على السائل، لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول من أفتي فتيا غير ثبت فإثمه على من أفتاه، من أفتي فتيا غير ثبت فإثمه على من أفتاه. والله الموفق. من أفتي فتيا غير ثبت فإثمه على من أفتاه.
الشيخ went on to say in explaining this that what's wajib or obligatory upon the Muslim is what Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory upon him and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what Allah Ta'ala or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not made obligatory upon a person, this is not obligatory. And then he went on to recite some lines of poetry that the scholars used to say concerning this issue, concerning the issue of ilm, of knowledge. What is it? They wrote in this line of poetry that knowledge is what Allah said and what the Prophet said and what the Sahabas understood. And knowledge is not your knowing the issues of the ikhtilaf of the ulama or the opinion of a faqih when it's in contradiction of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. He said, so therefore, it is not obligatory for anyone to have a madhhab, but it is permissible in al-Islam for a person to get some fiqh or yatafaqqah, to get some understanding in the deen. The person who does not have the ability to understand the principles and to understand the issues, the scholastic issues, so that he will be a person who is aware of how the ulama have come to their conclusions concerning the different issues. It's permissible for a man or a woman to take a madhab in order to increase himself in a systematic approach to get fiqh in the deen. But it's not permissible for that person who gets this fiqh on this madhab to be muta'asib or mutahazib, where he's only taken from what his madhab says, or he's only taken from what his group says. And what he does is he splits the ranks of the Muslims and he divides the ranks of the Muslims and divides the people. This is something that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is not pleased with, nor is his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleased with that. As for the regular person on the street, the Muslim, just the regular person, he's not a student of knowledge, he's just a regular person who does not know his right from his left as it relates to the issues of deen, he has no understanding of the issues of deen. The Sheikh said, as for this person, what he has to do is, he has to ask the people of knowledge. whatever he doesn't understand, he goes to a person who he trusts, who is known to be a person who is upright and pious, and Allah knows best, and he asks that person, what's your opinion about this and that? As for the one who is like this, he's a general, regular person, it is not permissible for him to try to come to conclusions by himself. When he goes to the person who is knowledgeable and he asks the questions, if the person who asks the question gets it wrong, it is no longer the responsibility of that regular person, but the responsibility in the sense falls squarely upon the shoulders of the one who gave him that fatwa, because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever gives a ruling, whoever is asked about a ruling and he gives it without being the people who give the ruling, doesn't have the qualifications to give the ruling, then he will be responsible for the sin. The next question is, how should we have the adab or the etiquette, the proper etiquette when we have ikhtilaf between ourselves in the issues of our deen? كيف يكون آداب الخلاف بيننا في أمورنا الدينية؟
آداب الخلاف بين المسلمين في أمورهم الدينية ينبغي أن يكون أولا قائما بين أهل العلم وطلاب العلم. فإذا كان الخلاف قائما بين أهل العلم وطلاب العلم فإن الأدب كله سيكون موجودا، وإن الخلق كله سيكون مطبقا. أما إذا لم يكن هنالك أهل علم ولم يكن هنالك علم مبني أو قائم عليه هذا الخلاف أو قائما عليه هذا الخلاف، فحينئذ سيكون التعصب، وسيكون الانتصار للرأي، وستكون المواقف المشدودة التي يريد كل منا أن يثبت بها رأيه وقوله وشخصيته وأفكاره وآراءه، بعيدا عن قال الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلنحرص إذن أن تكون خلافاتنا مبنية على العلم. فإذا كانت خلافاتنا مبنية على العلم، كل على حسب رأيه وكل على حسب حجته ودليله، كما قال الله عز وجل قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين، فحينئذ سيكون الانتصار للحق. فإذا أخطأ أخوك أو صاحبك في مسألة ما وأنت تقابله الحجة بالحجة والدليل بالدليل، فإنه حينئذ ستسعد بمخالفته وسيسعد بتصحيحك له. ورحم الله الإمام الشافعي القائل: ما ناظرت أحدا إلا سألت الله أن يظهر الحق على لسانه. لأنه رحمه الله كان راغبا بالحق، داعيا إليه، ملتزما به، مجتمعا مع الآخرين عليه.
The Sheikh answered that question by saying that the issues that cause us to differ amongst ourselves and to have this ikhtilaf, if we really want to know and have the proper adab or etiquette concerning it, then we have to take those issues to the people of knowledge and to the students of knowledge. When we do that, we'll find that the adab or the proper etiquette are going to be observed. He said that if there are no people of knowledge around, and if the argumentation that we're using concerning these issues of ikhtilaf are not resting or founded upon the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, then what's going to happen is that people are going to have a ta'assub, and they're going to have the intisab to their opinion. People are going to become only concerned with being victorious and overcoming his opponent. And the ta'assub is where the person is just trying to hold on to that which is with him. Everyone only wants to establish his opinion, far away from what Allah Ta'ala has said and what his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in his authentic sunnah. So therefore, ikhwan, it becomes incumbent upon us to work with the rules and the regulations and the principles of al-Islam in having the proper adab when it comes to getting knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And that adab is talking based upon dalil. As Allah said in the Quran, bring your proof if you are speaking the truth, if the truth is with you. So whenever the person is debating with his opponent or his brother states his proof, and then the person states his proof, and the people who are searching for the truth, they will look and see who is closer to the truth, and then that's when they'll take the truth with the proper adab, and the problems will be, insha'Allah ta'ala, they will dissipate. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have mercy upon Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi, who said, Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, I have never ever debated another person except that I prayed and supplicated to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to cause the truth to come from his tongue. The Shaykh said what? The Shaykh said the reason for that is because Imam al-Shafi'i was a man who knew his abilities. He knew that if a person brought the truth to him, he was looking for the truth, so as a result of that, he would take the truth. Whereas the other person, he doesn't know the situation, so if Imam Shafi brings him the truth, it doesn't necessitate that he's going to accept the truth from the Imam. Ma'ali Shafi, uktub ma'inda. Ma'ali Shafi, barakallahu fi, sallamakullah min kulli su. Can you please explain to us the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
الكلام مني والورقة منه.
الآن يريد أن يعقد يا شيخ. يصبح معقدا. تفضل يا أخي فما بدا لك.
فأنهم فهموا خطأ الأفعال فربط
المثل بآية
أن
المتاهد الأربعة لم يتبعوا سنة وقال في سبيل الكل.
من الذين قال؟
إخوة المرأة قالوا
That brother, may Allah bless the brother, that he said that when he was in the restaurant, he heard some brothers say that the Shaykh said that the madhahib, the four madhahib, they do not follow the sunnah. Said that the Shaykh said that. Malish, malish, ya akhwan. Alhamdulillah, adab al-ikhtilaf. Al-an, we have the people of knowledge. Ahlul ilm. The adab, so we're going to see the kalam of the Shaykh is sahih.
قلنا ونكرر بأن الواجب ما أوجبه الله ورسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام، وبالتالي فأن يوجب أحد على الناس أو أن يلزمهم بشيء لم يلزمهم به رب الناس فهذا ليس من الدين في شيء. فالمنع من هذا التمذهب إنما هو من باب دفع الإيجاب عما ليس هو بواجب أصلا، وليس من باب أنهم رحمة الله عليهم خارجون عن السنة، وحاشا أن نقول هذا أو أن يفهم منا أحد هذا أو أن يؤخذ عنا شيء من هذا، وإنما الذي نقوله أن الله عز وجل حفظ لنا الدين من ضمن ما حفظ بهم، فكيف لأحد بعدهم أن يطعن بهم؟ ولكن هذا كله شيء، وأن يقول بعضهم في بعضهم مخطئا ومصوبا مقوما ومصححا فإن هذا شيء آخر. لذلك فإن كتب أهل العلم طافحة بوجوه النقد والتصحيح والتخطئة والتصويب بعضهم لبعض. وفي هذا وفي ضحى هذا اليوم ونحن قادمون من نيويورك إلى هذا المكان الطيب لنلتقي هذه الوجوه المباركة، دار كلام في الحافلة بيني وبين من على شمالي حول قضية كلام أهل العلم وكلام غيرهم، فقلت إنني أقول إن خطأ العالم خير من صواب الجاهل. إن خطأ العالم خير من صواب الجاهل، لأن خطأ العالم مبني على أسس، بينما صواب الجاهل رب رمية من غير رام. صواب الجاهل قد يأتم عليه لأنه جاء فلتة، بينما خطأ العالم مأجور عليه لأنه بني على اجتهاد. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: إذا اجتهد الحاكم فأصاب فله أجران، وإذا اجتهد فأخطأ فله أجر واحد. ثم أمر أخير أقول: إن كثيرا من الناس أساءوا فهم كلام الله وكلام رسوله، أفلا يساء فهم كلام أحد هو بشر كالبشر؟ قد يكون عييا في كلامه أو ضعيفا في بيانه، وبالتالي يأخذ كل من الناس ما يرى وفق ما يرى، وما فهم وفق ما فهم. وقديما قيل: وما آفة الأخبار إلا رواتها. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.
The Sheikh said, Ikhwan, concerning this, we said previously concerning the issue of the madhhab that the Muslim has to do what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made wajib upon him, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has made wajib upon him. As for another human being coming to make wajib or obligatory upon the people that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not made wajib upon the people, then this has nothing to do with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that concerning these imams of the madahib, we do not say, we do not have the nerve nor the audacity to say that they are outside of the sunnah. And you people should not understand that to be my statement. And he went on to say that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has preserved for us this al-Islam with those imams who we're talking about now. But the books of the people of knowledge are full of the refutations that they made on each other. The books that they wrote are present in which they showed how some of them were right and some of them were wrong. Which goes to show what? That everyone is susceptible to being right and to being wrong. He said, and also today, while we were coming here to Philadelphia from New York, and the person who was sitting on his left, meaning me, we started to talk about a few issues. The speech came concerning a very important statement that was connected to this, which was the ikhtilaf of the scholars. We're talking about a book that Ibn Taymiyyah wrote, rahimahullah ta'ala. While we were discussing, the Shaykh went on to say that the mistake of the scholar is better than when the ignorant person gets something right. The mistake that the scholar makes when he makes his ijtihad and he makes his effort to find out about an issue, halal, haram, whatever, that mistake, even though he's wrong, is better than the ignorant person when he's right, he made the right answer. He said, why is that? He said, because the scholar, he made his ijtihad and his efforts based upon principles that he knows. He made it based upon principles. And he just was wrong, because he's a human being. Whereas the ignorant person, all he was doing was just shooting in the dark. And he happened to hit what was right. But it was luck. It was just something that happened, that occurred. So therefore, the scholar, when he makes his ijtihad, and he is wrong and he makes a mistake, we have in our Islam the fact that he gets his reward. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a hakim or a scholar makes his ijtihad in the issue and he's right, he'll get two rewards. And if he makes his ijtihad and he's wrong, he'll get one reward. Why? For his effort. The Shaykh went on to say, and finally, I'll say to you that the people have misunderstood the statement of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, the speech of Allah. And the people have misunderstood the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with that being the case, it only makes sense that when a person like me speaks, and I'm weak, and I'm a human being, it only makes sense that they are going to misunderstand my statements as well. So, it has been said a long time ago when the Shaykh said some words of poetry in showing this point, in which they said, the biggest problem of the akhbar, or the news that's going around, the biggest problem concerning the news is the people who relay the news. Meaning people add to it, people subtract, people put their own programming to it. Someone asked the Shaykh to please explain the hadith. There will be a group of people who always carry this knowledge. Ishrah. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحمل هذا العلم من كل خلف عدول.
هذا الحديث شرحه يستحمل محاضرتين، ليس دقيقة ولا دقيقتين، ولعلنا إذا سقنا نصه يكون ذلك إعانة للسائل أن يتفهم معناه. ثم أذكر نبذة خفيفة عنه. أما نصه فقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، والحديث بالمناسبة صحيح، صححه الإمام أحمد والحافظ العلائي والقسطلاني وجماعة من أهل العلم. يقول فيه النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يحمل هذا العلم من كل خلف عدوله ينفون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين. الحديث يبين أن أهل العلم هم عدول الأمة، والحديث يبين أن وجودهم لا ينقطع في الأمة، والحديث يبين أن من أعظم البلاء ثلاثة أمور لا يزال أهل العلم يقاومونها ويردونها ويكشفونها ويقاومونها. أما أولها فهو الغلو، وأما ثانيها فهو النية السيئة، وأما ثالثها فهو الجهل. فالغلو يصاحبه التحريف، والنية السيئة يصاحبها الانتحال والادعاء، والجهل يصاحبه صرف الكلام عن ظاهره وحقيقته. هذه هي الآفات، وهذه هي الشرور، وهذه هي الأدواء، والعافية كلها، والدواء جميعه، والنجاة بأبهى صورها إنما هي منوطة بأهل العلم وعدول الأمة الذين يحملون العلم ليذبوا عنه آفاته ويدفع عنه ضره وما يصيبه ممن ليس هو أهل الله.
The Shaykh went on to say concerning this hadith, this hadith, if we truly wanted to explain its meaning and to expound and elaborate upon its meaning, then know for surety it's going to be in need of no less than two lectures. It is not enough 2 minutes or 3 minutes. But inshallah, if I read the hadith for you, it will at least assist the listener to understand parts of the meaning, the general meaning of the hadith. And know that I'm only going to mention a small portion or a very light portion of what I really want to say. And before even doing that, let it be known that the hadith is sahih. It has been authenticated by a number of the ulama, from them Al-Imam Ahmed, as well as Al-Imam Al-Ala'i, and other than them from the ulama. He said that the hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will always remain a group of righteous people who will carry this knowledge. they will prevent the tahrif of the ghani. They will prevent people who make the word mean and say other than what they're really saying. That's what tahrif means. Allah Ta'ala has a hand, they say, no, it's not a hand, it means power. Allah Ta'ala says that He has a faith, they say, no, it doesn't mean His faith, it means His fadl. That's what it means. A hand is a hand and so forth and so on, but His hand is befitting His majesty. That's tahrif. They will prevent this tahrif from taking place. And they will also they will also prevent just the claims. They will also deal with the claims that people make. And these people will also explain, or they will prevent the explanation that has been given by the ignorant people. So this hadith is talking about the ulama who are doing these three things. They are preventing the tahrif of the people who go over, who have excesses, they have ghulu. And they will deal with the claims that people are making, and they will deal with the explanations that have been given by the ignorant people. The Shaykh said that the people of knowledge, they are the ones who this hadith are talking about. And this hadith has also explained that the people of knowledge will always remain in this ummah. This ummah will always have people of knowledge present. And this hadith also explains three serious problems that will always remain. These three problems, the ulama will always be present to deal with them. The first problem is al-ghulu, or the excesses that people have in religion. The second thing is the bad niyyah that people will have. And the third thing is ignorance. He said, as for the ghulu, based upon the hadith, the ghulu is accompanied with, when people have ghulu, after that it necessitates that they do what? They make tahrif. They change the meanings of things. And when the people have bad niyat, what they do is, all they do are people who just make claims. And when the people are ignorant, they begin to take the speech and to apply it in the way that it shouldn't be applied. He said, the medication for all of that is that the people should gather themselves around the people of knowledge so that these people will protect them from those problems. Can you explain the seriousness of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Yes, sir. We have questions. How do you keep taking questions? We talked about that. Give me the questions that you have.
What? We're going to answer, inshallah, two more questions and that's it. What should be the Muslim's approach or their view towards the scholars? ما واجب المسلم نحو علماء الأمة؟
الواجب للمسلم نحو علماء الأمة أمور. أما أولها فاتباعهم وامتثال قولهم. وأما ثانيها فالدعاء لهم. وأما ثالثها فنصيحتهم إن كان أهلا للنصيحة بالتي هي أحسن وللتي هي أقوم.
He said that our view or our concern or our dealings with the ulama, there are a lot of things that we need to be doing, but he's going to mention here three things. The first thing is that we should follow them and we should do or execute what they tell us to do. The second thing is that we should make dua for them or supplication for them. And the third thing is that we should give them good advice if we are in the position to do that. Give them good advice in a way that is best.
Two more questions.
Thank you. Now, what is the priority of the knowledge should we seek? What is the priority of the knowledge we should seek? I.e. Aqidah, followed by Arabic or some other Islamic field or Arabic, and these fields simultaneously. Yes, I
understand.
أقول إن الأولويات بالنسبة للعلم قد أقول قد تختلف باختلاف الناس. فإنسان يعيش في بيئة ينتشر فيها التوحيد وتشتهر فيها العقيدة الصحيحة ليس هو كإنسان آخر يعيش في بيئة مبنية على الخرافة ومفعمة بالشرك وتنضح بالبدعة وينتشر فيها الباطل. هذا ليس كذاك. وهكذا فأقول لإخواني الأعاجم بصورة خاصة، وأعني من لا يحسنون لغة العرب، إن أول ما يجب عليكم فعله هو فهم اللغة العربية، لأنها مفتاح العلم وباب الفهم وقاعدة المعرفة، وبقدر درايتك لها بقدر ما تتفقه في دينك وتتعرف أحكام ربك عليه. وأما إذا كنت جاهلا بها، ولو تعلمت أو ظننت أنك تعلمت شيئا من العلم وقرأت شيئا من الكتب، فإن علمك سيكون ناقصا وقاصرا وهزيلا. لذلك فإن معرفة اللغة العربية هي الوعاء العميق الذي يستوعب علوم الإسلام كلها. وأنتم سمعتم كلمتي في فضل العلم وبيان شرفه ومكانة أهله، وسمعتم ترجمتها. أقول إني أعلم جيدا أن أخانا أبا أسامة سدده الله مترجم جيد، لكن المشكلة بعد لكن اللغة العربية في وقعها على الآذان وفي أثرها في العقول والأفهام لا تدانيها لغة من اللغات. فإني أظن أن كثيرا من الكلمات على قوة اللغة الإنجليزية وعمق مدلولاتها وإلى آخر هذه القضايا، لكنها لا تعطيك الوقع الذي تعطيكه اللغة العربية في سياق الكلام وسباقه ونصه وبيانه. فأول ما أوصيكم به هو اللغة العربية، ولا يمنع أن يكون مع ذلك دراسة العقيدة والفقه الضروري الواجب كالصلاة عند البلوغ وكالصيام إذا حان وقت الصيام وكالحج إذا وجب عليك الحج وهكذا. لكن الاهتمام الأول والذي إليه المعول هو اللغة العربية، فهي وصيتي إليكم، وأرجو أن تكونوا على قدر هذا الدين الذي شرفنا الله وإياكم بأن نكون من حملته ودعاته، وإن شاء الله أن نكون من حماته.
Sheikh went on to say, brothers, concerning this issue in terms of the priorities as it relates to knowledge, the priorities can be different from person to person. It's relative amongst the people according to their particular situation. For an example, you may find that some of the people may live in an environment, and in that environment in which they live in, the issue of the Tawheed is well understood. The issue of Al-Aqeedah is well understood. And then on the other hand, you'll find a man or a person living in another environment where the affair is not like that. The situation is not like that. The environment in which he's living in, there's a lot of khurafa, superstition, a lot of things that the people have made up. There's a lot of shirk or polytheism and a lot of bid'ah or innovation. And that which is batil or the fourth herd is all over the place. He said, I say to you brothers, and you brothers are the ajam. You, everyone is ajami. He said the meaning of this ajami here is, you don't know the language of the Arabs. He said, I say to all of you that the first thing that you need to learn and understand is, you need to understand the language of Arabic. Because this language of Arabic is the key to the knowledge. And it is the door of understanding. And it is the principle of al-ma'rifah, that we can't translate. He said that according to a person's understanding of the deen would be directly connected to how well he understands the language. As for the person who is ignorant of the language, the person who does not know Arabic language, it makes no difference, and I don't care how much that you have read and how much you think that your knowledge is. You could have read many, many things. But if you don't know the language, rest assured that your knowledge is going to be deficient. As long as you don't know the knowledge of the language, because it is the language that is the bowl, the deep bowl of understanding. You people have heard already my talk today concerning the superiority of knowledge and the virtues of acquiring it and the virtues of the people who have obtained it. And you have heard the translation of that talk. And I know very, very well that the translation that was done by my brother, inshallah, I know that it was a good translation. But, and he said the problem comes after but. He said, but the language of Arabic, when it is spoken and it falls upon the ears of the listener, and it falls upon the heart of the listener, it has a special effect, and it jolts them to make them know what the person is saying. And I don't care how many big words you have in English, but English is not a language that is qualified or capable to transmit to you. At the time of a talk, it cannot transmit to you the same meaning of the Arabic language. It's impossible. But that does not mean that you people should not learn about your aqidah or your ideology. It does not mean that you should not spend time learning about the fiqh of dururi, the fiqh that is necessary, the fiqh that is wajib, that which concerns of salah, and that which concerns of siyam, of fasting, and that which concerns making hajj, if hajj is obligatory upon you. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, the very first, most important issue as it relates to you is that you learn Arabic language. Because everything else evolves and is centered around it. So my nasiha or advice to all of you in this blessed place is that you should do that. Since Allah Ta'ala has blessed us to be a people who are on this khair or on this good. We thank the Shaykh for coming as well. The people of the masjid, we hope and pray to Allah Ta'ala that the people who are responsible for this masjid, who are taking care of the affairs of the masjid, will continue to realize that the masajid are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they allow us to utilize the facilities that Allah ta'ala has put them in charge of as an amanah, and not to be like some of the people, unfortunately, who have what the Shaykh talked about before, al-hizbiyah. you're not what I'm on, what I'm on, you can't get what I have. And since I'm not on what you're on, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But we encourage the brothers to continue their mutual cooperation. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that which is good, and to give you that which is good, and to establish us all upon the kitab and the sunnah.